following is a presentation of the Nu Skin, BYU Sports Network. BYU football is 2 hours away from kickoff, and Cougar Pregame Live is here to get you ready for BYU versus Baylor. Cougar Pregame Live is brought to you by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Cougar Pregame Live is also brought to you by Tucano's Brazilian Grill. Phenomenal flavors, a festive setting, and more fun than you can shake a skewer at. Also brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Alongside Hans Olsen, here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Good morning, BYU fans. Emphasis on the morning. Welcome into Mountain America Credit Union Cougar Pregame Live. Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Today, the now ranked number 22 BYU Cougars are in Waco, Texas for a early morning kickoff against the Baylor Bears. My name is Jason Shepherd. Thank you so much for joining us for BYU football this Saturday morning. Joining me from Waco, Texas, in the broadcast booth at McLean Stadium is the great Hans Olsen. Hans, are you awake, my friend?
I am awake. I am ready. I'm excited. I'm a morning person now. I didn't used to be when I was in college. I'm glad I'm not having to have a kickoff at this early, but I do love an early morning call. Greg's a morning guy. Mitch is a morning guy. So we're all up. We're all excited. We're all juiced up and ready to go, man. It's going to be a blast.
All right, let's start right there. A lot is being talked about outside of the football program about the time of the kickoff. Do you put any weight into when a game kicks off? Morning, afternoon, late night? Does it really matter as a player?
Yeah, it does. And I hate to admit that because you don't want to really overthink it. You don't want to let it get in your head. Just like you didn't want the 7,200 feet to get in your head at Wyoming. And just like you don't want certain aspects of roads and homes and different types of opponents where they've got certain numbers or there's these weird trends. You don't want to actually admit it. You don't want to think too much on it. But there's no doubt, Shep. I mean, these are college kids. And you can wake them up at 6 a.m. and it's still miserable to them. And you could tell them to get to bed early, but they're still going to bed at 2 in the morning because they're college kids. And there's some discipline there, but still, they're college kids, man. Yeah, and it's tough to get yourself to bed. It's just the college life. So I hate to admit it, but there is something to it. These guys really needed to be disciplined. And what I said on my show during the week was it's going to come down to the veterans. And I actually had this conversation. I got to talk to Kelly Popping on the sidelines at the Lehigh Sky Ridge game on Thursday night. And what I said to him was, it doesn't matter. I said, you know this as well as I know this. How do your seniors handle it? How do your veterans handle it? How do your leaders handle it? If they're getting the young guys to bed, if they're to bed, if they're waking up early, if they've got the excitement, if they're ready, then the team's ready. It will come down to Tyler Batty, Jacob Robinson, even a Jack Kelly who's become a leader on this team. It'll come down to a Connor Pay. It'll come down to these guys that have been around, Shep, and I've got high expectations for this leadership group. They've shown great early, so I'm sure they were doing the right things.
Let's get to some fun stuff here because the way that this season has begun, it has brought a lot of excitement to the BYU fan base. And I think if you gave everybody some of the truth serum and asked them if at any point this season did you think BYU would be ranked, I think most people would tell you they did not expect that. So BYU comes into today 4-0. And now ranked in the top 25 at number 22, this defense, Hans, is absolutely real. There is absolutely enough of a sample size to know that this is what this defense is going to be more times than not. You're getting Hinkley Ropati back today. There is a lot of things positive around this BYU team heading into this really important matchup today.
It's so much positive. It is, and if you would have told me, Shep, that you were going to lose A.J. Vong-Pachang, Ben Bywater, and Max Tooley, and replace them with three guys that have just as much production and are showing just as much physicality and ability, I'd have told you you're out of your mind. If you would have told me Isaiah Glasker, Harrison Taggart, and Jack Kelly were going to simply replace them and be the right bodies and have the same amount of impact, I'd have told you you're out of your stinking mind. But that's what the staples become. So listen to this. Those three combine for 57 tackles. Those three combine for 4 sacks, 11 TFLs, 2 forced fumbles, 5 pass deflections, an interception. Those three, I'm talking about those three guys, have that production. They have just lit the world on fire. They have been a complete joy to watch. And then watching the defensive scheme that Jay Hill has put in place with Logan Latui, John Nelson, Blake Mangelson, Tyler Batty, using in rotation Luke Tuomalatai and Isaiah Banya, has just been spectacular. The defensive front is controlling their men. They're not overly productive, but that's not their job. They're leaving it open for Glasgow, Taggart, and Kelly. And we are seeing absolute magic put together with this second line of defense right now for BYU.
Yeah, the defense has been unbelievable, and guys stepping up and really coming through. And we've talked so much heading into the year. One of the questions was, okay, how is this defense going to be in year two under Jay Hill? And boy, have we had an answer in a resoundingly positive way just about every game. Well, every game so far, and I know Cougar fans are hoping that continues today. BYU coming off an unbelievable victory over K-State, and I think above everything else, and all, you know, the punt returns and the scoop and scores, there's so many things about that game that was great. I don't know if it's getting talked about enough. 0 turnovers. How many times this season have we talked about you got to cut down the turnovers, you can't have the turnovers? And ultimately, it hasn't cost BYU in the wins and loss category, but 0 turnovers against K-State, that's the blueprint. If BYU doesn't hurt itself, they are going to have a chance to win every game.
And that goes back to Jake Retzlaff believing in his defense and believing in his team. And that goes back to the comments that we heard from Kalani Sitake when he said, Jake Retzlaff, this is not your ball. Do not be selfish with this ball. This is the fans' ball. It's the defense's ball. This is the coach's ball. You do not be selfish. You don't make bad decisions because you want to be the hero. You don't make bad decisions because you want to rack up the numbers. You don't make the bad decisions because you think you have to do it all. And when Jake can look at his defense and say, geez, we don't give up points. We don't give up yardage. This is the 23rd best defense in the country right now, giving up under 270 total yards. They have not given up a passing touchdown. They're only giving up 136 yards on the ground as compared to 185 yards last year. So Jake just needs to not be selfish. And quarterbacks that understand the big picture of a team, they understand their special teams. They understand what their defense is capable of. They understand what their running backs are capable of and what passes their receivers can grab. Quarterbacks that grasp it, intelligent ones, they're the ones that maximize team potential. And that game last week kind of showed that Jake Retzlaff might be putting it together. I do think the reason he's the quarterback for BYU is because of his level of intelligence. I think he's a highly intelligent quarterback, and he has to continue to show that. So, Shep, not only did he not turn the ball over last week, he did not put the ball in jeopardy last week. You go back to the Wyoming and SMU games, and outside of the 2 or 3 turnovers that he had put the ball in jeopardy another 4 or 5 times with potential picks, balls that careened off a defender's hands, you know, like really put the ball in jeopardy. And he can't do that, and he did not do it last week. You know, and so I do think he's starting to grasp it, but that is absolutely a characteristic of a quarterback that understands the big picture of his team.
Dangerous team today in Baylor. Yes, they're just 2-2, but coming off a very tough overtime loss, a game they should have won at Colorado. This is a team that has played much better at home. Dave Aranda, the head coach, has taken over the defensive coordinator duties. The defense is much better than it has been. 4 starters on the O-line return, including former Cougar Campbell Barrington. We're going to get a preview of the Baylor Bears when we come back. Ricky Thompson, he roams the sidelines for the Baylor radio broadcast, and he will join us next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Alongside Hans Olsen, here's Jason Shepherd.
Welcome back. Hopefully you're enjoying your bowl of Captain Crunch, just absolutely destroying the roof of your mouth. But we're here to help you through it. We're here to get you ready for BYU, number 22 in the country, on the road at Waco, taking on the Baylor Bears. And to help us preview the Bears is Baylor sideline analyst Ricky Thompson. Ricky, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Man, Ricky, this is gorgeous weather. Got the sun in our face here. A little bit of heat coming down on us, but it is gorgeous.
Yeah, you know what? Let's be glad this is an 11 o'clock kick, not 2:30. It would be a little warm.
Get that Texas heat, right?
We've had, the first two games, 6 and 6:30, not bad. On the west side, really hot. But these day games, generally this time of the year, are perfect. But we've had a really hot September, so a little warmer than it should be. I think the highs 87, 88, but that's bearable.
Ricky, how would you describe the state of Baylor football right now?
That's a tough question. These kids get past things a lot better than adults. I know in our flight back from Colorado, we were sick. Got home, and I had a hard time sleeping. I've got a feeling those kids went to sleep. Got to work on Monday and put it behind them. They have that ability to do so. And if not, I'll tell you, it could be a long day, because that was a game that the Bears should have won. There's no question. If you tell me before the game, JJ and I were talking, our booth color guy, that if we were to have 8 sacks before that game started, we win by 2 touchdowns. And if you look back at the game, that's what we should have done. We dropped a wide-open touchdown that would have been gone about 60 yards. We've got first and 10 at the 25, get no points on the board. Just a mistake here and there. I thought defensively we played well. Travis Hunter, 7 catches, 130 yards, and you say that's containing a guy. The week before, he had 13 catches for 2 touchdowns. So I think we did fine on him. We let Sanders get away a couple of times, scrambling that hurt us. But all in all, I think it was a game that we should have won on the road, hostile crowd, and that would have gone a long way with this team's attitude. So I would say right now, overall, this team's fragile. And I think this game today is very important against a very good BYU team.
I've been watching film of Utah and Baylor, just trying to take some things away from what Baylor was doing and try to figure it out for the call. And watching Daquan Finn in there is quite a bit different than watching Sawyer Robertson right now. And I know that there's been some back and forth with the quarterback situation. I think Daquan got some ribs knocked up in that Utah game, and he sat, but he's been available, was available for Colorado. So talk to me about this quarterback competition. How did Daquan win it? Why does Sawyer Robertson get to keep it? And will we see any potential switch out during the game?
Well, obviously, the switch out part, I don't have an answer there. They don't tell us that. I'm going to expect that this game Sawyer's until he plays himself out of a job. And I think originally through spring and through fall, that quarterback competition was very, very close. I don't think anybody really separated. I think the thing that got Daquan Finn the job originally was his legs. The guy can run. He's really good out of the pocket. He's good with the sprint. And when he takes off, you're not going to catch him. So I think that was the difference. I think some decision-making with this offense he struggled with early, particularly at Utah. You saw the film. I think that maybe Sawyer would have handled that a little better. He's used to this offense. He ran it in high school. In fact, he's run it since the seventh grade. That makes a difference. It was new for Finn, and I think he had some problems adjusting to it. So I think the job is Sawyer's. He didn't do anything last week to lose that job. Not to say that that couldn't happen today, but as long as Sawyer performs as he has been, I think the job is his to lose. Last week, I think he struggled a bit in the third quarter. I thought that hurt us. The first half, he was, 8 of 11. Looked really good. You say he struggled. We dropped, had a touchdown drop. and that's not on the quarterback, but that affects him. He had a 43-yard run on a 4th-and-2 for a touchdown. That was impressive. This kid's 6'4", about 220, and has handled the pressure well so far, and he'll have to today. This BYU defense,
good.
I've been impressed with them, really good up front, and I think this is going to be a job for the Bears offensive line today to keep them off of Sawyer.
We're talking with Baylor Radio sideline analyst Ricky Thompson here on Cougar Pregame Live. Ricky, everybody knows the history of Dave Aranda as a defensive coordinator. His record for that speaks for itself. Since taking over as the D coordinator, what have you seen as the biggest change, or where have you seen the biggest improvement in this defense with Dave taking over those duties?
Well, I think number one, that's his history. He's a defensive coordinator first, not to say he's not the head coach. He is, but his background is on the defensive side of the football. And I think what you saw or what you see this year compared to last is this defense is generally in position. Throw out the last play against Colorado. But the defense is in position. He has the calls to put them in the right spot. I think that's dramatically different than what we saw last year. He's a bit more aggressive than Pallage was last year. And I think that all plays into this, the confidence realm of the defense, and that they always feel like that Dave's got them in the right spot. They've played much better than last. I thought the guys coming off the corner last week were outstanding. And that has been a substantial improvement over last year. Now I think, too, that Dave's had to understand that being a defensive coordinator and a head coach is a tough job, because he's got to be involved when it's 4th-and-1 and the offense has the ball. That's his call. Are we going to go? Are we not? So he's learning as we go. But I tell you, the thing that's impressive, and it's to a man, these players love him and play their butts off for him, and that's a start. Now, with that, you've got to win. 21, of course, won the Big 12 championship. Beat Oklahoma State in that game. In fact, BYU came in here that year, and Gary Bohannon was a quarterback that won that game. It was really a different type game, wide zone. Abram Smith had 188 yards rushing in that game. You'll see a much different offense today than what you saw then. But I think Dave's learning, and people here are pretty optimistic about that.
So watching the film, feels like your special teams, it may be one of the best aspects of the three. I might be off, but 100-yard return for a touchdown last week. There was a 45-yard or so punt return that came down the left side of the sideline. It was really impressive just to see some of the returns. Talk about the special teams, what it's meant to this team, and how reliable it's been through the four games.
Yeah, I think across the board it's been reliable. I know in Utah, you mentioned you watched that game, Palmer Williams averaged right at 70 yards a punt, which is ridiculous. And then the return game has been exceptional. Of course, kickoffs in the game today, rarely do you get to return a kickoff, because generally they bust those things out the back of the end zone. That one happened to come down at the goal line. We took it back, Bell took it, and I was at the other end of the field, and you could see it open up. We had two blocks on the play. Other than that, it was an open seam.
It was gone.
He took it to the house.
A bullet straight through the lane.
Untouched.
Yeah.
And the punt return.
Was that Bell?
That was Bell.
Yeah.
That was Bell. Great speed. You know, it's when I was playing, it was 40-yard dash. Now it's miles per hour, so yeah. Everything's changed. Yeah. But he was 21.9 miles per hour, whatever it is.
What he hit?
All I know is that's fast.
That's really fast.
Yeah, it was one of the top two or three in the country of players' time during those games. I don't get it.
Maybe not Arch Manning fast, but that's fast.
There you go. he can run, and he's exceptional back there. It just adds and you guys saw it last week. You had your 90-yard punt return for 6, had a fumble return for 6. When you can score on special teams or score on defense, what a difference that makes in a ball game. Momentum-wise, we returned that kick, and everything had flipped in our direction, and then got another quick touchdown, went up 24-10. That's when the pass was dropped that would have made it 31-10, probably game over. But special teams much improved over last year. That's been impressive. The return game's good. Josh Cameron's a solid punt returner. He can't fly, but he weighs about 220, and he's 6'2", and he's hard to bring down, and he's done an exceptional job returning punts. In fact, he returned that punt to the 25 that set us up first and 10 at the 25 late in the game. So at that point, you think game over, but we missed a field goal. But special teams are so important.
Which was a very rare thing to happen. This your kicker does not miss field goals, and that was not – was it a 40-yarder or so?
Well, it was 45. But
he pulled it hard, right?
Yeah, it wasn't even close. It's probably not good from 30. And he's
but he's good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been solid. He's been solid. He's got a great leg, and that was a surprise. It was wet. It was on grass. He's used to turf, so you use all those excuses. But that was one, really. In fact, I was standing behind the goalpost, and I'm thinking, this thing's going to be good. He's got it. But
and that would have been a game ender.
That would have been it.
Yep.
That would have been it. We'd have been up by 10 with, 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So game over.
Ricky, we know you've got a job to do. We will let you go. Thank you so much for the insight. It should be a good one today. This is one's pretty important for both sides. So thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it is. And I want to say I think it's been good for these two teams to start playing each other. I think it's been a really good series. I think there's a lot of respect going both ways. And I look forward to this being a longstanding, I don't know that you'd call it rivalry, but opponents that play hard and like to win football games.
Yep.
And basketball games.
Yep.
And baseball games.
Yeah.
So goes all the way around. I know we had a great basketball game here last year with you guys, and then y'all took it to us and Provo. So look forward to that as well.
Well, we appreciate it, and we echo those sentiments as well. Thank you, Ricky. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
There we go. That's Ricky Thompson. Coming up on the other side, it's X's and Olsen, and Hans wants to focus on the BYU defense, specifically why they're the nation's leader in pass defense. We'll get into that when we return. You're listening to Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Back to Jason Shepherd and Hans Olsen for more Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Number 22, BYU at Baylor today. Kickoff from Waco coming your way in about 90 minutes from now. And Hans, for X's and Olsen this week, you wanted to talk not just about the defense, but something very specific about what the defense has excelled at so far this year.
Yeah, and that is the passing defense, not allowing a single passing touchdown. One of the very few teams in the country to have done that, only giving up 133 yards a game through the air. One of the very few teams to be able to do that as well. This is a particularly good passing defense based off a lot of factors, but I'm going to start with one individual in particular, Gennaro Guilford. I believe he's the most underrated DBs coach in the country. And I think he has been a staple for BYU's defenses for quite a few years. Remember, Gennaro Guilford was one of the defensive holdovers from the Ed Lamb, Ituiaki defensive regime that was moved out. Gennaro Guilford was kept on staff because everybody knows that that dude is the dude. I played with Gennaro Guilford for 3 years. I think he is one of the most fine human beings I've ever known in my life. And I think he's one of the best coaches on the outside that you're going to find. And the proof is in the pudding. Last week we saw Evan Johnson go down. Maury Bamba was just coming off injury duty. And Maury Bamba was put right back into the game. Maury was great. Mark Collins came from Weber State. They put him in. He's been fantastic. 5 tackles, 2 pass deflections. He's got an interception. Gennaro Guilford has made Jacob Robinson a lot of money because Jacob Robinson is going to be a draft pick. Jacob Robinson this year, listen to this stat box. 16 tackles, 2 TFLs, 3 pass deflections, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, an interception, and when you start to add those on to the stat box that he put together last year, I think it was 4 interceptions. I think 1 was a pick 6. He had a touchdown. I think he had 2 other forced fumbles. He was a nightmare last year, continues to be a nightmare this year. Jacob has been so consistent. But whether it's Mark Collins or Maury Bamba or Jacob Robinson or Jonathan Cabea, or you see Evan Johnson who goes down and you've got injury issues, and he just has them coached up well. So that's one of the biggest aspects that I really wanted to point out. But then you throw in some of the layered pressures that they've got. Last week, Tyler Batty has an interception. Well, what? How would Tyler Batty have an interception? Well, because they drop Batty into certain zone coverages because they use their defensive linemen to zone out either scrapes or drag routes or flat routes. And so you've got Batty who's in that coverage. Well, what happens when Batty's in coverage? Well, that means Jack Kelly's in the rush. Well, what does it mean when Jack Kelly's in the rush? That means five TFLs, three sacks. That means Jack Kelly is forcing the quarterback to throw it to Tyler Batty or throwing it to Jacob Robinson or to Mark Collins on his one interception. So the pressures combined with Gennaro Guilford's coaching, combined with the talent that Gennaro Guilford has gone out and recruited, because this is all his recruited talent, this is what you got. One of the best pass defenses in the country.
You know, it really is remarkable when you think about that through four games that you've not given up a passing touchdown. That's quite remarkable. And you know as well as I do, Hans, that, you know, nobody's going to want to talk about it like this, but when you go this long without doing something like that, or you've got some sort of remarkable stat like this, like then it becomes, all right, well, we've gone this long. Why can't we just keep this going? Like they're going to be upset if the time comes where they give up a passing touchdown, because they know what they can do. They want to keep this going as long as they can.
They absolutely do, and it's just been and by the way, it is sustainable because you've got the athletes. They've been healthy. You've got the scheme. It's working. You've got great coaches, very intelligent coaches that are working on the back end down in distances and percentages. I got to tell you, Shep, I've played for a few different defensive coordinators. Ken Schmidt was fantastic at BYU, but Vic Fangio was my defensive coordinator in the NFL. And we know Vic, he took over as the head coach of the Broncos for a minute, and I know he's back in the defensive coordinating chair now in the NFL, but he's got such an intricate defense. And I remember getting a packet every game day, and the packet was about 30, maybe 35 pages deep. And in that packet was every down and distance marker, every percentage of every play, whether it was some type of speed option or some type of zone read or some type of I formation, downhill look, or some type of leak out or scrape route or some type of quick slant or slow go. It had percentages on all downs and distances. And I remember thinking, geez, man, this is different than college. Mm-hmm. Holy cow, this is intricate. Well, that's what college has become, and that's why you've got Gary Anderson and Chad Kalaha and others that are behind the scenes. They break down the film. They help with schemes. They help with 20% and 30%, so you know your percentages when you're third and short or you're first and 12 or 15 because of a penalty. I'm telling you, it's just a different game now, Shep, that's a lot of fun to watch.
So coming up on the other side, we're going to stay with the defense. And you mentioned Isaiah Glasker earlier in the program. I talked with him for this week's episode of Shep Talk. So people are going to hear that coming up on our next segment. What also happens when we play an interview is that it obviously gives people an opportunity if they want to, you know, go grab a drink or go get something to eat. So Hans, would you like to tell everybody what you're going to go eat while they're listening to the Shep Talk interview with Isaiah Glasker?
Hey, Mitch, do you got your headset on? Mitch, throw that. Barry, can you pull up Mitch? Ben, are you up there? Can you put Mitch? Mitch.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. Were you just at the buffet table?
I was.
How was it? What are we doing with it at 9 o'clock?
It was good food, but at 9 a.m. it was chili cheese dogs, and they did have some kolaches, so I loaded up on some kolaches, but yeah, just
okay.
Loaded some dogs with chili cheese.
You didn't do the nacho. You didn't do the nacho.
I couldn't do the nacho.
But they do have. So they've got chili cheese dogs and chili cheese nachos available.
They got it.
Does
it
at 9 a.m.
When you get to the end of the buffet table, is there like an assortment of Tums that you can also grab?
I didn't see any Tums, but, you know, I'm sure there's a number of convenience stores around that we may be hitting after the game.
Hey, no wonder Chip's getting so chunky on that show.
Oh, boy.
Chip's looking chunky.
All right, so we're going to need, after the interview, when we come back, we're going to need an update on how the chili cheese dog or the chili cheese nachos were. So you go enjoy that. Coming up on the other side, everybody that's listening is going to hear my interview with Isaiah Glasker, and that comes up next on the New Skin BYU Sports Network.
You're tuned to Cougar Pregame Live on the New Skin BYU Sports Network. Now, back to Jason Shepherd.
Isaiah Glasker is in his second season with the Cougars, the South Jordan natives, part of that BYU linebacking core that we talk about so much, and if we're being honest, they've just been sensational this season. Isaiah is the subject of this week's Shep Talk, and we began talking about his speed, and he's known for a lot of different skill sets that make him such a great player. Speed is certainly one of those, and I asked him where that came from.
In high school, I actually ran track for a little bit, and I was a wide receiver, so I'm kind of used to running all the time, I would say. But putting all this weight on right now, it's kind of a little bit harder, but for the most part, I feel like I like to run. So,
what has been the most exciting part about this start for you guys?
Just really what we can do. I'm excited to, for the rest of the season, just playing all these great Big 12 teams and us dominating right now. I feel like we have a big chance to win the Big 12, so I'm really excited for it.
Is it a little strange because for so long we had talked about how everybody was doubting you guys, and now you've come out with the start that you have at 4-0, and now there's outside expectations. How is that different, or have you not paid any attention to it, good or bad?
We've seen it, but for the most part, ever since fall camp, even like spring ball and stuff like that, we knew what we could do, like what we were capable of, and we knew we could come out here and play with anybody. So for the most part, it's nothing new to us as a team, and we're just looking to dominate. So
is it somewhat, though, satisfying for you, though? You know, you were telling everybody, look, we know what we have here. And now to be able to go out and show everybody else, is that's got to be somewhat satisfying, though.
Yeah, for sure. It's super satisfying. For the most part, we're not really looking at all the outside noise. Kalani's like emphasized just keep it in between the team and stuff, stay humble, hungry. So that's really what we're doing right now, and just sticking to the basics and stuff like that, like lifting every day, stuff like that. So
while the end result may not have been to the level that you wanted last year, you could see defensively a lot of the foundation for what we're seeing this year start last year. How much of that do you believe has helped you guys, what you went through last year defensively, going through this new system, now coming into this year? How much has that helped you having last year to go through it first?
Mostly just with Jay Hill being a new coach. This year it's helped us just because we know the defense now, and it's like we can finally play fast and stuff like that. We're not really having to worry about knowing what the call is. So now that we know what the play is and stuff like that, we can play fast. And so it enables us to make plays and stuff like that, big plays.
When you see some of the numbers that you guys are putting up on the defensive side, are you even sort of shocked at how good you guys have been able to play so far?
Honestly, I'm not even paying any attention to that right now. It's just, I'm not really shocked just because I know what's expected of us and I know really what we can do. So I feel like it's not really surprising to any of us.
At the end of the day, this is a game, and it's supposed to be fun. How much fun are you guys having?
I would say we're having a lot of fun, for sure, especially Saturday nights with The Rock. Shout out to The Rock, for sure. And I don't know, it was, like, especially our last game, it was rocking and less, and it's a fun time, for sure. So
BYU has a long history of fantastic linebackers, and what you guys have done so far this year is pretty remarkable. What is this group like to be around and to be a part of?
I feel like we're pretty close as a backer group. Like, all of us love each other. We're not super old, I would say. I feel like our oldest guy is maybe a junior and stuff like that, so we get along with each other pretty well, and we love each other, especially with the defense. We all love each other, so it plays a big part in our game. So
let's focus in on this Baylor team. We know they're coming off of a pretty heartbreaking loss for them. They're going to be motivated. You're facing another team that's going through are they going to start this quarterback or this quarterback? Have you guys, because you've done that multiple times this year, Does that help having gone through the preparation of multiple quarterbacks heading into this game?
Just seeing all the quarterbacks that we face, like with speed, some are pretty big and stuff like that. We're not really overlooking anyone at this point. So really going into this game, I feel like we're expecting both. So,
and like I said, this is a team that's going to be super motivated because of the way the game ended at Colorado. Do you have to sort of be aware that they're going to try and maybe come out with a little extra stuff on their home field?
Yeah, for sure. Especially playing in Texas, we know we're about to go into a dogfight for sure. You can't really overlook any team in the Big 12 because they're all really good. So I'm excited for what's to come and stuff like that. So I feel like we're going to get after it.
All right, let's wrap things up with the final four questions. The first one, right out of the gate, pineapple on a pizza, yes or no?
I'm going to have to go with yes for sure.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. I don't know. Growing up, I always liked pineapple. Like, it's probably my favorite fruit, so I would say for sure on pizza.
Your favorite NFL team is who and why?
Bear Down. Chicago, yeah, for sure. I don't know. Growing up, my dad was a huge Bears fan. I got some family in Chicago, actually. So, I don't know. Just growing up, it was always watching the Bears play. And, I don't know. I've just been diehard Bears fans my whole life, so.
Okay. Got to be happy with the new quarterback. Maybe you've got one, right?
Yeah, hey, hopefully. We'll see what he's going to do this year. So,
your favorite concert is what?
I've only been to like two concerts maybe in my entire life. And one was, what, Wiz Khalifa was my first one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was maybe when I was in high school, maybe a sophomore in high school. So it was a good time. But ever since then, I haven't really gone to any concerts, so I couldn't say too much.
Okay, we'll go with that one then. Last question. This is the 100th season of BYU football. What type of motivation do you have to keep the legacy going of what it means to be a BYU football player?
There's been a lot of great players that have gone through BYU and have set, like, a great example for all of us. And we're just – really, we just want to be a team that you can look back on and really just brag about, I would say. And hopefully just, like, a team that everyone can say, oh, that team dominated. They were the best team that's ever played at BYU. So hopefully that's what I'm looking forward to. So.
All right. Well, appreciate it. Good luck against the Bears. Thanks, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Good stuff from Isaiah Glasker. Expecting big things from him today and continuing through the rest of the season. All right, coming up next, a look ahead to the day in the Big 12, plus an update on the breakfast chili dogs from one Hans Olsen. And if you're just joining the program, yep, you heard me right. We'll get to all that next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
The Cougars play in the Big 12 on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Shep with you, hanging out in the BYU radio studios in Provo, Utah. Joining me from McLean Stadium in Waco, Texas is Hans Olsen. We're going to get to the Big 12 Blitz coming up in just a second. How are the chili dogs? Did you go with the chili dog or did you go with the chili nachos?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the chili dog is going to become a breakfast staple of mine from here on out.
So it was that good?
I'm not even kidding. Shep, I'm not even kidding you, man. Now, I went just a little bit different than maybe a lot of people up there, but I went bunless on my dog. This is a steamed link. So it's just down in the dog water, and you got that steam just kind of plumped and popped on the ends of these hot dogs. So I went with two of those big old gigantic links. I then ladled two huge helpings of their beanless chili.
Oh, yeah.
This is a beanless chili. This is an all-meat sauce chili, and it is delicious. I don't know if you've ever had Cincinnati chili, but a little bit of the cinnamon.
Oh, really?
A little bit of the spice, yes.
Okay.
And so I ladled that on there. I hit it with a couple of spoonfuls of chopped onion. I put about a half cup of shredded cheddar cheese on it. I actually squirted just a little bit of mustard. I hit it with some salt, and I have downed the entire plate during the Glasker interview, and I am riding a high that I have not experienced in probably 5 years. I don't know how long this is going to roll, but, Shep, I am in chili dog heaven, and I've got the most beautiful scenery in front of me. This stadium with the river that runs by it, with the beautiful tent setups, it is one of those perfect mornings. I will never forget this morning. This is absolutely perfection. I hope the players are experiencing the same chili cheese dogs as that I am. Because
I hope they're not.
Oh, if so, they're going to come out on literal fire because there is some spice on it. But, no, this is great.
Okay, that actually sounds – what you just talked about sounds amazing. Now, whether or not I would want to eat it at this time of the morning is debatable, but it sounds amazing. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Doing good.
All right, shall we get to the Big 12 Blitz? Because there's some really interesting games. I don't know how everybody else views this one, but I am absolutely fascinated by the other 10 a.m. Mountain Time kickoff in Manhattan between Kansas State and Oklahoma State. Both teams coming off losses. Obviously, BYU beat the Wildcats. Utah beating Oklahoma State. I mean, Hans, the winner of this game is still in the running for the opportunity to go to Arlington. The loser falls to 0-2 in Big 12 and is in big trouble.
Is in big trouble right out of the gates, which I guarantee you both of them were not think they'd be in this situation coming into this game. I like to call it the matchup of the in-state victims because both of them got whooped up on pretty darn good. And watching BYU just dismantle Kansas State last week, I have been grinning all week. I've had this perma-grin all week because of the way they did it. Special teams, defense, scores on all three phases. It was just awesome. But I fully expect Oklahoma State to come out of that with a win. But Ollie Gordon does not look like Ollie Gordon. So maybe not. Bowman didn't look like Bowman last week. So maybe not. Maybe Kansas State is stirred up and they are at home. So maybe this being in Manhattan, maybe Kansas State comes out with it. And we watched the team that was picked number two quickly fall down to number 14-15 with an 0-2 start.
At 1:30 Mountain Time, TCU travels to Lawrence. Actually, they travel to Kansas City. This game is being played at Arrowhead between the Jayhawks and the Horned Frogs. And look, neither team wants to fall to 0-2. Both are 0-1. But if you're Kansas, this is such a massive game for Kansas to avoid not just starting 0-2 in the Big 12, but 1-4. This is a massive game for the Jayhawks.
Well, it would be 0-4 in the last four because they started up with a win against Linwood, which was an FCS non-important matchup. They beat them 48-3, but they lost to the Illini the following week. They lost to a Mountain West Conference opponent the week after that in UNLV. That's got they're all in every type of controversy you could think of right now with their quarterback and running back situation. But UNLV to beat them 23-20, then losing to West Virginia, they could be 0-4 in the last four, the only four FBS teams they've faced. And I actually think that's the most likely outcome. I think that Jeff Grimes finds himself in a pretty tough situation where he's got the players, he's got the athletes, but he can't assemble it on the offensive side of the ball, and I expect TCU to get that win.
UCF hosting Colorado. Houston, who is winless in the conference, they're 1-3 overall. They host number 18, Iowa State in Houston. Texas Tech hosting Cincinnati in Lubbock. And then the late game, number 10, Utah, taking on Arizona. I know there's some hard feelings from the Utah side towards Arizona, the way that the game ended last year and the idea that Arizona was running up the score in a game that was not close. I don't know. Have you heard specific? I'm going in assuming Isaac Wilson is the starting quarterback. I don't know if there's been any official word. That should be a pretty interesting game tonight in Salt Lake City.
I don't know if Isaac Wilson knows, to be honest with you. I'm not so sure he knows at this point. I think that it is coming down to Cam Rising, how he feels, if he's ready. And if game time it's ready, then he'll probably go. If not, it'll be Isaac. But really interesting quarterback situation going on there. I think the one I'm most interested in outside of that is Colorado Central Florida, though. I think that that's the big game of the week. I want to see if Colorado is for real after having beat this Baylor team when they shouldn't have. I don't think they're for real. I don't expect them to be for real. What I expect is that UCF is one of the top three teams in this conference right now. I think you've got BYU and Utah. I think you've got Central Florida right next to them. Then I think you've got a little bit of separation, and then you got Iowa State and everybody else in between. But Central Florida, Shep, is the one that I'm circling. That game in Orlando for BYU
is going
to be a big battle if we're talking about Arlington and potential conference championship implications. circle that one in Orlando coming up in just a few weeks.
Amen to that. All right, that's your Big 12 Blitz. We'll take a break and visit with The Voice. We'll get a personnel update from Greg Wrubell. Just wrapped up his conversation with the head coach of the Cougars, Kalani Sitake, and we'll get all the details next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to Big 12 Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Number 22, BYU at Baylor today. The early morning kickoff coming your way in just a little over an hour from McLean Stadium in Waco, Texas, which is where the voice of the Cougars joins Hans Olsen in the broadcast booth. You'll hear both of them on the broadcast today, of course, along with Mitchell Juergens. Good morning, Greg. Did you also partake of the breakfast chili dogs?
No, I am. I'm not gonna eat till dinner tonight.
Oh, you're waiting?
Yeah.
Okay, because you got a great place put together for all of us.
Yeah, I do actually.
I'm excited about this.
I'm gonna save my appetite till 7 o'clock tonight, Jason.
Okay. Well, Hans did say that it's not the food that he would typically eat for breakfast, but he's saying after eating it, he may start adding it to the menu in the morning.
Well, Hans is very open-minded. As health-conscious as he is right now and does limit his intake, he's open-minded.
Very open-minded. Yep. I will not partake of the bread, but an all-meat chili. And by the way, Shep, I did fail to mention that they've got these fresh-fried bacon crumbles. Ooh. That are on display, and I did bury my all-meat chili in a bunch of bacon crumbles that went underneath the shredded cheddar cheese. So,
and by the way, we came up the elevator this morning with the bacon crumble guy. He was in the elevator with
two
us.
Two massive pans.
All he was carrying was bacon crumbles.
And I said, that's interesting. I said, are you headed to a dark corner somewhere? And he's like, what? I said, that's a lot of bacon. I said, have some fun.
Yeah. All
so,
right.
Yeah. So, but here's what I love though. And Hans, you and I are in the same boat because I limit my carbs, so I wouldn't have had the buns either. But mm-hmm. I love how we're like, no on the buns, but yet we're going with multiple hot dogs, the meat, chili, bacon.
Yeah.
Like, that part's fine, but heaven forbid we eat the bread.
Oh, I'm judging everybody that I see with bread right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Total judgment.
All right. Enough of the chili dog talk. Greg, you just talked with the head coach of the Cougars. We do know someone that's coming back because it was made public earlier in the week. Getting Hinkler or Potty back is big for the run game. What other personnel notes do we have?
Well, you remember that great touchdown run from Sione Momo last week?
Yeah.
He got hurt early in that run. The first or second tackle he runs through, they kind of wrapped up him up lower extremities and took a tweak there. And so he got into the end zone on adrenaline, but will not be available today. So no Sione Moa, who comes off a great game, right? He had a great game last week and showed in that run who he is. He'll not be available today. But on the flip side, you get Hinkley Ropati. And so look for Hinkley Ropati, Enoch Nabahine, Miles Davis, and Pokaiawa Haunga to carry the load. Wouldn't be surprised if even Enoch is the first guy getting snaps out there, although it could go to Hinkley. Hinkley looked pretty good after missing time due to an injury suffered at SMU. So he's missed a couple of games. So he comes back one in, one out. So look for that there at running back. But those are the four names you'll be seeing. And then also good news on offense. Remember that both Sonny Maccasini was out last week and the week before. Austin Liusa was out last week after playing the week before. Both guys are available today. So Sonny Maccasini should start at right guard with Austin Liusa backing him up. And then Bruce Mitchell, who we now know can play right guard because he did it last week for the first time, is a good depth piece there. So look for Etienne, Lapuaho, Pei, Maccasini, and Keim now to go left to right. So you're back to your original starting offensive line. Hans.
Greg, I got a question for you. So Pokaahonga, he has got two games in the books. He's got two more before he burns a red shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Are they just playing it by ear?
Oh, I think they're playing him. I don't think they're thinking about a red shirt anymore.
Okay, so they're going to lift it.
Yep.
They're gonna
I think
run
the first few weeks have shown you really can't afford to. Guys are getting banged up at a pretty regular rate, so the running back depth has proven more than handy this year, Jason. So that's your personnel look on offense. Good news, a little bit of bad. And then Evan Johnson should not be available today at corner. He got hurt last week. So Maury Bamba, Mark Collins could be your starting corners, and that's good because Maury's back just in time. Maury had his first action of the season last week after being injured. So that's your personnel note. Kalani Sitake, by the way, I'll leave you with this, Jason. He's very mindful of the fact that BYU is an underdog today. And he's mindful of the fact that BYU's either covered or beaten the spread in the first 4 weeks. He is out to make, he and his team are out to make another statement. Statement number five. See, when we want to prove some people wrong and prove ourselves right. And so he's aware they're coming into a place in which they're not favored to win. And so far, so good in that respect for BYU.
Yeah, it has served this team well. And we heard them all talking about it before the season started. You know, they and you hear it. It's sort of a sports cliche. Well, we've got this chip on our shoulder. Nobody believes us.
Well, Kalani said it. Well, yeah, Kalani said those exact words again in the pregame interview, too.
Yeah.
That is how this team is playing right now.
Yeah, and like you said, it's served them well. Guys, thank you so much. We'll let you guys get ready for the your portion of pregame coming up in about 25 minutes. Coming up on the other side, I will talk with our sideline reporter, Mitchell Juergens. Guys, thank you so much. We'll talk with Mitch on the other side.
Thanks, Shep.
Thank you, Shep.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk with Mitch after this. And first, though, let's take a 10-second break for station identification. You're listening to BYU Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is BYU Radio on KBYU FM HD2 Provo. You're listening to BYU Football on BYU Radio. You're listening to Big 12 Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Cougar Pregame Live brought to you by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. The BYU Cougars, number 22 in the country in Waco for a matchup with Baylor. Joined now by former Cougar receiver and our sideline reporter, Mitchell Juergens. Mitch, I want to ask you this question. So what you do is typically called the sideline reporter. That's what, I mean, I do it too for different sports. We call it a sideline reporter. I will say that when we had Ricky Thompson on earlier in the show, he is the sideline reporter for the Baylor broadcast. And I got his number from John Morris, who's the play-by-play guy. And when the contact was sent over to me, he had Ricky labeled as the sideline analyst. Would you like to be called the sideline analyst as opposed to the sideline reporter? Because I kind of like that.
You know, if it makes me sound a little bit more official, then sure. I mean,
I may start working that
whatever.
In. I may start calling you the sideline analyst. I like that.
I like it, too. It's got a nice ring to it.
Okay, well, you know what else has a nice ring to it? BYU 4-0 and number 22 in the country. That has an excellent ring to it.
Oh, yeah.
What's your surprise level at this start for BYU?
If you asked me that question before the season started, I'd say very surprised. Well, watching them play, though, I mean, this looks like a 4-0 team. The way that, I mean, the thing that has stuck out to me the most is just the way this team is playing team football on both sides of the ball. I mean, it's really been impressive. But, I mean, the part of it that's surprising, like when I go back to last season, there were some significant issues that this team had to fix dating back to last season. You know, you had the rush game woes. You had some discipline, accountability things on the field that just didn't look right. There was, you know, just giving up, you know, big leads there at the end of the season. There were just things that, I mean, you could tell this team hasn't. It would have been a big leap to then say, okay, yeah, this team is a 4-0 team, but. Because then you fast forward to the season, and we didn't there weren't too many changes to the roster. With the transfer portal, NIL, I mean, you see a lot of rotation. And to see a team take the significant step forward that BYU has done this season, to do it without some significant additions to this team, I mean, it's been just pure development of these players. Big shout-out to this coaching staff for getting this team right. Because I think that's been the biggest difference. I mean, you heard Hans talk about it earlier. At the linebacker position, you lose Ben Bywater, Max Tooley, A.J. Vompachong, and then you come in and think that those linebackers are arguably one of the most productive groups so far this season. Nobody would have predicted that. And so I think it's just a huge tribute to what this coaching staff has done with these players to develop them, get them in a position that – They're looking so cohesive out there, and it's just been fun to watch. So, yes, surprising, but watching them, I mean, this looks like a 4-0 team that I'm excited to continue to watch week after week.
Look, the turnaround from an outside perspective of not expecting much to now being one of the surprise teams in the Big 12 is fascinating to me. As a player, how did you handle the outside noise? And the noise can be both good and bad, because I think buying into everyone now patting you on the back can be just as detrimental as dealing with all the negative stuff.
Yeah, you have to tune it out. I think it's easier said than done. Like being in the locker room, being in the team rooms, regardless of what noise is going on, good or bad, you feel so locked in with your team, and it doesn't matter what people are saying because you know what it's like in the locker room. You know what it's like in your meeting rooms, on the practice field, even on the game field. And so it's pretty easy to actually tune it out. However, you can get caught up in it. And you heard Greg talk about it, where Kalani's mentioned the words, like, we've got this chip on our shoulder. And what's funny is I had actually in my notes, preparing for this segment, you have to continue to remind this team, and I hope they did it all week, that they're a 2.5-point dog.
Yeah.
What they've done, like, that kind of stuff, this team and what we're seeing with BYU, they play so well when looked at as the underdog. People, not believing in them, not giving them the credit that they deserve. This is one of those situations. And so, yeah, they're 4-0. They've got a lot of hype. I've seen some things online that's like, oh, like a college football playoff projection, and they have BYU locked in to one of the 12 teams. And it's like, look, don't get carried away with that. Don't think that you're better than you are. Stay humble. Stay hungry. Stay with that mindset that nobody believes in you, and then prove it every single time you step on the field. That's the mindset you have to have, and continue to remind yourself every time you put your helmet on.
Yeah, us against the world, that mentality has been a great thing for this team, and everybody's talked about it. And I was trying to make this point when I was talking with Greg and Hance. You hear it all the time. You hear people say that, and so sometimes you kind of tune it out because you hear it all the time. But then to go out and see a team like this actually do it, and you know it's coming from a place that's real, that they were legitimately upset and believe they were better than what they were given credit for, it's fun to see them be able to go out and show it on the field. And we certainly hope that they can continue that today and moving forward. And I think it's going to be interesting because this Baylor team, they're 2-2. They're coming off a stunning loss at Colorado. What type of Bears team do you think BYU is going to face today?
Yeah, this team is physically stout. That front seven on the defense, their offensive line. I mean, these are really physical players, and it's going to pose a pretty significant challenge for BYU. I remember 3 years ago in this stadium, Baylor ran all over BYU. They commanded the ground, ran for over 300 yards. Anything they wanted to do, they could do. And I think it's still very similar to what this Baylor team is made up of. You go on the other side of the ball, just last week against Colorado, 8 sacks on Shedeur Sanders. They were getting after him. They're averaging 12 sacks a season. They have 12 sacks this season, so averaging 3 a game in 4 games so far. I mean, that's a really good front seven that knows how to get after the quarterback, put some pressure. That's going to pose a challenge for this BYU team on both sides of the ball. And so it's going to be a battle of the trenches, I think. I couldn't be more confident in the way that our secondary is playing. It's fun to watch. You've got some incredible athletes that I think are going to be able to match stride for stride. We've seen it all season. Typically, I mean, these especially these Texas schools, what you're going to get is athleticism and speed on the perimeters. And I think BYU is posed really, really well to match up against that speed like we've seen all season. So, I fully expect, a dogfight this afternoon. But BYU's shown that they can do it. They can compete. They can go stride for stride. They can match that physicality. But we'll see what happens here soon.
Look, and after this start, the last thing you want to do is to get that loss right before a bye week and then have to sit on it for 2 weeks. I'm so excited to see how BYU comes out in this game and the type of performance we see today against Baylor. I mean, this is such a big, big game for BYU.
Yeah, absolutely. It's huge to have a chance to go 5-0 to prep for a pretty tough stint of games there in the middle of the season. October is going to be a doozy, and they've got to get ready for it. And if they can do that 5-0 with a lot of time to prep mentally, physically, that would be just unbelievable for this BYU team to accomplish.
That is our sideline analyst, Mitchell Juergens. Mitch, great stuff. I appreciate it. Enjoy the game, and hopefully it doesn't get too warm for you out there.
Yep. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
You bet. Coming up on the other side, some comments from Baylor head coach Dave Aranda. That's next on Mountain America Credit Union Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
The Cougars play in the Big 12 on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
BYU at Baylor from Waco, Texas, an early morning kickoff coming your way in a little over 45 minutes. Time now to hear from the head coach of the Baylor Bears. He would be Dave Aranda. While addressing the media this week, after such a devastating loss like the one at Colorado, Coach Aranda is hoping that his team comes out extra motivated today, and Coach was asked, according to him, what that would look like.
To start fast, to have energy on the sideline, to compete to the next time that we get punched in the face, to bring our hands back up and throw a punch in return. The struggle with losses like that is that prior to having an experience like that, when there's a fight going on, everyone runs to the line to get in the fight. I mean, we're shoulder to shoulder. After something like that happens, when your heart's taken out, you know, that hurts. And so you don't want to get hurt again. And so it can be where there's a fight going on. There used to be somebody right here shoulder to shoulder with me. And now they're, where are they? You know, where'd they go? And so that is not something I feel is going to happen with this team. I feel the overall sense of urgency to get it right.
While BYU fans are loving what they saw from the Cougars special teams the last 2 weeks, Coach Aranda believes that that aspect of his team is a major strength.
For all the struggles of last year, we were number one special teams unit in the league. And we've continued and really almost improved off of that from last year. And so we want to continue. You know, this team we're about to play has got a good unit. They're explosive in the return game like we are. And they're big and physical. And, you know, they're going to be a challenge to hold up against with their rush. And so it's a great challenge. We're looking forward to it. I think special teams wise be one of the stronger units we've played.
Look, Baylor comes in with a record of 2-2. Both of the wins are at home, and Coach Aranda's hoping that being at home in front of their crowd can be a real lift for this team today.
Anytime we get that type of support, I think there's a kind of a feeding off of it that we get, whether that's on defense or whether that's after an offensive big play and the sidelines kind of get going because the student section's going crazy and you can hear the roar from the crowd. And so we're all pushing for that. I mean, you know, we have to be able to win games to be able to get that. And so I'm hopeful Saturday morning that we've got ourselves a good crowd.
Coach Aranda has touched a little bit through some of those comments that you've heard already about BYU, but this is more of an in-depth idea on what he sees from this BYU team.
Defensively and offensively, line of scrimmage. I think they're physical up front. I think defensively, they're really, you know, they remind me of West Virginia a year ago when West Virginia really previous would, you know, twist this, stunt that, blitz this, and then last year, they played a little bit more quieter and a little bit more structured and really played better. I see BYU the same way. And, you know, I think offensively, a lot of shifts and motions, probably similar in some ways to Utah's plan of attack. They'll get it to where they can out-leverage you and, you know, a lot of backs and pistol, backs and gun, backs and far, splits are condensed, splits are wide, a lot of formations to work with and work through. They'll get you looking at all different types of things and they'll run it right down your throat, you know, and then they'll have the shot plays that come off of that. I think they're throwing for a lot more than they're running because of the shots that they take. You know, a lot of quick game will carry over week to week, but they're a heavy game plan unit. So self-scout for us is really going to be key.
Those are the comments from the Baylor head coach, Dave Aranda. We'll come back. We'll go over one more time the schedule in the Big 12, and then we'll get you back to Waco for the Cougar Pregame Coaches Show. We've got one more segment of Cougar Pregame Live, and it comes your way next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to Big 12 Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
All right, one more quick rundown of the day in the Big 12 Conference. The other 10 a.m. Mountain Time kickoff is in Manhattan, Kansas, number 20 Oklahoma State at number 23 K-State. Your 1:30 in the afternoon games, TCU at Kansas, that game being played at Arrowhead Stadium, Colorado in Orlando as the UCF Knights host Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes. Houston will be hosting number 18 Iowa State at 5 o'clock at 6 p.m. Mountain Time tonight in Lubbock. It's Texas Tech hosting Cincinnati. And then your late game on ESPN tonight, 8:15 Mountain Time kick from Rice-Eccles Stadium, number 10 Utah hosting the Arizona Wildcats. Coming up next is the Zions Bank Cougar Pregame Coaches Show. You're listening to BYU Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
It's time to hear from the head coach of the BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake. This is the Cougar Pregame Coaches Show, presented by Zions Bank. For banking that goes the extra yard, Zions Bank is for you. The Cougar Pregame Coaches Show is also brought to you by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Let's join Hans Olsen and the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
Good morning, Cougar football fans, and welcome inside McLean Stadium on the banks of the Brazos River in Waco, Texas, as the 22nd-ranked 4-0 BYU Cougars play for a 2-0 start to Big 12 play as they visit the Baylor Bears, a 2-2 team coming off an overtime heartbreak in Boulder. Meantime, the Cougars flying high after an electrifying home win over K-State today. BYU plays for its first ever win in Waco in a rare late morning matchup. My name is Greg Wrubell. I'll have your play-by-play call today. Joined on the headset by the former BYU and NFL lineman, the big man himself, Hans Olsen. Hans, week by week, the games get bigger and bigger, and now BYU's ranked. The Cougs are on the radar, taking a 5-0 record into the bye week. Well, that'll be huge and would signal that BYU can indeed be a contender in the Big 12 Conference.
Is the hair standing up on the back of your neck? Because it just stands up on the back. I get these chills. I'm just pumped because hearing you talk about potentially 5-0 going into the bye week with some big games in front of them, but putting together wins against Baylor and Kansas State and SMU and enough that it's substantial and being held defensively that it could be very sustainable. But this is where it starts, Greg. How about a road Big 12 victory? Now, that will initiate another level of belief in BYU, in the Kalani Sitake era, in their transition into the Big 12, going on the road against a great Big 12 partner and getting the win in their stadium. And that has to start today.
Coming up next, the pregame thoughts of BYU head coach Kalani Sitake as the Zions Bank Cougar pregame coaches show continues on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
The Cougar Pregame Coaches Show continues. Once again, here's Greg Wrubell.
We are live from McLean Stadium in Waco, Texas, this 45,000-seat venue, and it is a beaut, too, playing host to BYU for a second time 3 years ago when current Cougar Gary Bohannon was a Baylor quarterback. The Bears beat BYU 38-24. The Cougs are 0-2 all-time in Waco, the all-time series tied at 2, with BYU winning the two matchups in Provo. The last meeting came in 2022 at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Cougs won that one 26-20 in a double overtime thriller. Time now for my pregame conversation with BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. It's brought to you by Zions Bank. For banking that goes the extra yard, Zions Bank is for you. With BYU off to a 4-0 start and now in the top 25, the coach wants his team to focus on two attributes as the Cougs battle the Bears this week. Those words are hungry and humble.
The key is just to remind the guys that what they felt like after last year, the hard work that they put in since January in our off-season conditioning and training, from spring ball, from the summers, the long hot days, and they worked harder than I've ever seen. So just a reminder, I mean, this was a good taste of victory last weekend, but you enjoy it on Sunday, and then you got to move on Monday. I think the guys have done a great job, listening to what we're talking about, that we didn't just come through all this just to do one game. You know, we want to do something that's different. We said it's a different team, so this different team's got to find a way to go on the road and win a Big 12 game for the first time. So that's what we're trying to get done here. And I'm actually happy. I think the rest of the guys are excited. It's a morning game, so really not a lot of time to think about it. Just wake up, eat breakfast, and let's get ready to roll.
3 years ago, we came here, and you knew you were going into the Big 12, but you weren't a Big 12 member yet. Mm-hmm. But you played a Baylor team that day that played really well. And was that, in a way, a bit of a preview of the kind of team you would need to be to compete in this league when you played them back in 21?
Yeah, I mean, you read it. I mean, I think they were the standard at that time. Did they win the Big 12 that year? Yeah. So, and I thought that we didn't really help ourselves with a lot of the mistakes. I think this team has been really careful about the errors that are out there. I think the key is, though, not to be so caught up on mistakes that you don't make plays either. So, it's a fine balance. But I think the guys have done a great job maneuvering around it and doing exactly what we asked them to do. And I mean, in terms of worrying about mistakes and all, if you just give us the effort, I think everything will work out.
What do you like most about the way your team is playing offensively at the moment?
Well, I think they're efficient. You know, in terms of short fields, I'd love to give more short fields, but I think they're opportunistic, which is score when you get set up. And but I think that towards the end of the second half, when they went through that drive and punched it in, with the run, I think that's exactly how we want to be as an offense. And then they ended the game by converting first downs and taking victory. That's what we want to do. That's a mindset we want to have from the very beginning. Hopefully we can start off that way and see if we can sustain it for 60 minutes.
I want to shout out Bruce Mitchell, who last week came in as the number 3 right guard and played a good game. Yet the good news ahead of him is that both Sonny Macassini and Austin Leusa should be available for you today. Is that true?
Yes, both are back. And, you know, not a lot of people worried about Bruce because all the attention went to the running back position. And so go figure. O-linemen don't get a lot of attention. But Bruce did an amazing job, graded out as a champion, one of our top players last week. And it's been good to have our O-line at full strength with Maxini and Leusa back. So Bruce will still have his role. But we feel really good about our front now that we're – it was a little bit nervous when those two guys were out and banged up last week, but feel really good about them being full strength right now. And then it speaks to the type of work that TJ Woods does in the line coach, getting those guys ready.
You mentioned running backs. LJ remains out, but Hinkley Ropati returns, which is good news. At the same time, Sione Moa, I think, got dinged on his touchdown run last week. You won't have him today?
Yeah, I mean that was unfortunate that he got hurt on that run, but if you're going to get hurt, get a touchdown, you know. So we anticipate getting him and LJ back for the Arizona game after the bye. And so it's now time for Hinkley to get back into the mix, and then for Miles and for Pokai and for Enoch to get ready to roll.
And defensively, Mori Bamba kind of retakes the role that you thought he would play now that he's back from injury. And it'll be good because Evan Johnson got dinged last week.
Yeah, and we're anticipating getting Evan back after this game too. But it's good that Mori is able to replace him. I wish they were able to play at the same time, but it's okay. I mean, I think we have some depth there at the corner position. We talked about it. You talked about the game from 3 years ago to now. Depth was one part that we knew we needed to improve on, and I think we've done that. I don't want to just keep calling on the depth, but if we need to, you know, I think we'll be in a good spot.
At some point, you might allow a touchdown pass this year. Hasn't happened yet. The overall defense has been a strong identity for this team.
Yeah, I think you just play assignment sound football. I think that's what got us here. Not worried about too much about stats more than just everyone doing their job. I think it's impossible to say, well, this is what we're going to do to other teams and impose our will when they can make great plays too. So we just want to make it really hard for them. And if we can get all 11 guys in sync, doing the right thing, doing their 1-11th, I think we can be able to have some success there.
And a word or two about Dave Aranda's 2-2 Bears.
Yeah, they're the dangerous team. They're their backs against the wall. I know that they probably feel embarrassed from last week's game because they had it under control, and they basically let a win slip out of their fingers, and so I don't think they anticipate allowing that to happen again. So it's not going to be easy. We just got to take it, though. This is not a game where anyone's going to be giving you anything, especially a well-coached team and a coach like Dave Aranda. He's going to call on these guys to step up. They're at home against a ranked team. They're favored. we have every right to have a chip on our shoulder too, because we're trying to prove a lot of people wrong, but at the same time prove ourselves right. And I don't think we need to make more of it other than that. Just go out and make statement number 5 a little bit different than what we do statement number 4. So far, 1 through 4 has been really good. I'd like to see 4 and 5, that transition, become even better on the 5th statement.
Well, it's a beautiful stadium and a beautiful day. Here's hoping for an attractive result today, too.
Yeah, let's have a party at brunch. Thanks. Go Cougs.
That is BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. This has been the Zions Bank Cougar Pregame Coaches Show. As we go to break, let's present today's Ford Keys to the Game. They're brought to you by your local Ford stores. BYU football, built Ford proud. Hans, what do you have for 3 keys?
Well, I'll tell you what. Listen to Kalani. He has had a no-nonsense type style throughout this season. He's just a different Kalani Sitake, and you can hear it in his voice right there. Great interview with him, Greg. Number one, we're going to start this right out. This game is all on BYU. Right now, they're the better team. By the roster, by the stats, by the games they've won, by how prepared they've looked, by how clean they played last week, they're the better team. So don't lose it for yourself. No stupid penalties, no stupid turnovers, no stupid lapse in details on coverage lanes. Play your game, and you win. They are the better team. Number two, be ready to make offensive adjustments. So Aaron Roderick's got to be on his game. Jake Retzlaff's got to be on his game. The offensive linemen need to be able to detail what they're seeing up front and then relay it back to Aaron Roderick and back to E.J. Woods. Dave Aranda, he's going to have wrinkles that you're not ready for. Make protections and play adjustments that neutralize those surprises and pressures. For example, cadence and count, make changes. Draw traps and tunnel screens, different slide protections. So, Greg, these guys rush four more than any team I've watched coming into this point against BYU. They're going to rush four downs, but here's the difference. You never know which four. It could be four linebackers where you get 2D linemen that drop, but they rush four. You just don't know which four. Once you start to key in on the four, you can seal it up and you can make some big plays. And then number three, I love this one. I'm going to step outside of the box a little bit. The deep ball is there to be had. Last week, Colorado completed passes of 46, 58, 43, 31, 28. The deep ball is there to be had, and they did that into this Baylor deep pass protections. I know Retzlaff can hit the deep ball. I'd like to see 3 passes over 30 yards in this game. JoJo and Lassiter are good in the deep ball. Hit them. Get that deep ball going. Greg, I'd love to see something over the top, because Baylor can allow it. If you can seal up the protection and have time to let that route mature, you can hit those deep balls.
Those are Hans' Ken Garf keys to the game. The Ken Garf Cougar kickoff show is coming up after this. Those will be your forward keys to the game. Cougar kickoff show is coming up next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
We're getting closer to kickoff of BYU football. You're tuned to the Ken Garf Cougar kickoff show. Ken Garf, we hear you. The Cougar Kickoff Show is also brought to you by the BYU Creamery, serving sweet memories for 75 years. Let's head live to the All-Pro Capital broadcast booth. Alongside Hans Olsen, here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Vrubel.
Good morning once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside McLean Stadium in Waco, Texas. 4-0 BYU visiting 2-2 Baylor. Cougs have already won 2 away games this season. Baylor 2-0 at home and have yet to allow a touchdown in 2 home games. They beat Tarleton 45-3 and Air Force 31-3. Baylor's allowing only 15 points a game overall, but BYU's allowing under 13 points per game, shaping up as a defensive slugfest. This is the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. Greg Grubel, Hans Olsen coming your way from the broadcast booth. Former BYU wide receiver Mitchell Juergens joining us from the sidelines and the Zions Bank end zone. For banking that goes the extra yard, Zions Bank is for you. Our scoreboard host is Jason Shepard. Audio engineers Ben and Lily Warner. Spotter Matt Jarvis. Coordinating producer Terry South. Control board operator Seth Larson. Stats interns Devin Gwynn and Winston Platt. Well, back in the Mountain Time Zone, it's not yet 10 a.m. And we are preparing for kickoff at the top of the hour. It's a really early game. 1 week after a really late game. We all know that BYU excels at night. The Cougs have won 24 of their last 27 night games. On the flip side, BYU has lost 12 of its last 14 day games, including the last 10 in a row. Now for some context. Of those 10 games that BYU's lost in a row in daytime, four were against ranked opponents. And the day games are generally against really good teams that the TV executives want showcased in the early windows. And when you get a morning or an early afternoon kick, it's likely in that window for a reason. But the fact remains that BYU is getting vastly different results from daytime to nighttime. The coaches are reluctant to address it, to give it a lot of credence, but BYU probably needs to win a few day games to put this discussion to bed, Hans. What do you think?
Well, I think it's 9:45 in the morning back home, and it's probably a little bit too early for puns. Because the discussion to bed, come on, that's a Greg Rubel.
Who's in there?
Look, I pick up on him because I know you pick up on him, and I do love him, but you want to put it to bed. But here's the deal. You can't overemphasize it, but you got to point it out. Kalani knows it. 0-10, it's a glaring fact. And you get into these schedules. You know, a lot of these guys don't even schedule morning classes so they can sleep in a little bit. And all of a sudden, they've got you getting up at 6 in the morning to prepare for a 10 a.m. kick, which would be Mountain Time, 11 a.m. kick local.
Quick interjection.
Yeah.
BYU is a late afternoon practice team. Baylor went to a morning practice schedule this year.
That's right. Beginning at the very start of the year,
yes,
they've been in a morning practice schedule. So I do think that that's probably beneficial for them. There were so many different little aspects, like the 7,200 feet at Wyoming. There were so many little things that you wanted to acknowledge, you want to put it in the mind, you want to prepare for it, but you don't want to make anybody overthink it. And I think that that's what BYU is trying to do with this 10 a.m. kick.
More of the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show is coming up. As we break, we remind you to go to BigOTires.com and make an appointment at one of 50 locally owned and operated Utah locations. Big O Tires, the team you trust. Pre-game coverage of BYU and Baylor rolling on right after this, live from Waco, Texas, on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show. Let's get back to Hans Olsen and the voice of the Cougars, Greg Rubel.
We've got BYU and Baylor coming up just after the top of the hour, and this will be, might it be, a game of the first team to say 21 points wins. Both teams' offenses are adequate, ranked in the middle of the pack in the FBS in scoring. BYU ranks 48 at 32.8 points per game. Baylor 72nd, a little worse at 29.8 points per game. But defensively, both teams are excelling. BYU 12.8 points per game. Baylor 16.8 points per game, so both under 17 and under 13. The big difference, though, is consistency. BYU's point totals allowed in the four games, 13, 15, 14, and 9. So no one's gotten loose yet. Baylor, meantime, has kept its lower-tier opponents out of the end zone. Tarleton scored 3, Air Force scored 3, but the two P4 opponents have scored 23 and 38 points. Hans, this BYU defense is the story of the Cougs season so far, I think.
It is, and it's the linebackers that could really be the emphasized story. Jack Kelly has been a stat filler. Listen to this stat box. 17 tackles, 5 TFLs, 3 sacks, a forced fumble. You go to Harrison Taggart, 25 tackles, 1.5 TFLs, a forced fumble, 3 pass deflections, an interception for Harrison Taggart last week. You go with the combined Glasker, Taggart, and Kelly, combined for 57 tackles, 4 sacks, and 11 TFLs. Those three guys. If you take all four of your BYU defensive ends, all four of them, Tyler Batty, Isaiah Banya, Bodie Schoonover, and Logan Latui, they combine for 1 sack. These linebackers combine for 4 and 11 TFLs. Greg, the story is defense. The story inside the defense is the linebackers.
Perfectly said. Time now for today's Hyatt Place Comfort Zone feature. At Hyatt Place Provo, your convenience and comfort will always be our highest priority. And the Cougs are suddenly very comfortable in the return game at Wyoming. It was BYU's first kickoff return touchdown in 10 years. Against K-State last week, BYU's first punt return touchdown in 11 years. And when you include the scoop and score last Saturday, BYU scored now 3 non-offensive touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. Hans, as we've seen, those plays can be and were game changers.
They are absolutely are game changers. But we are now talking about a road Big 12 game. So as much as I love those for BYU, this is going to sound crazy. To me, it's more important that you prevent them from Baylor.
Because Baylor can do it.
Absolutely. They did it last week with a 100-yard kickoff return. There was a 45-yard punt return that put them in great field position, scoring position early in the second half. So this is my big thing. Those are great. I love them. Give them to me if you can. But when you're in this stadium, in this environment, make sure that you prevent them. Do not give up a defensive score. Do not give up a special team score. Do not let this fan base
there you go.
Get into it.
We are back with more of the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show live from McLean Stadium in Waco right after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
All right, so BYU and Baylor are coming up. Another game of running back roulette for BYU. Hinkley Ropati returns while Sione Moa is banged up and will not play. Still no L.J. Martin. Hope is to get him back after the bye week against Arizona. So four games in, no one running back is at 100 rushing yards for the season. But BYU's getting just enough out of the running back room to be balanced right now. Most Big 12 teams' hands feature a workhorse superstar. But with BYU, it is truly a committee effort right now.
Yeah, not a single running back over 100 yards is absolutely crazy to think
four games
about.
In.
But you also have to look at it and say not a single running back has been available and ready or starting and getting the carries to get them to 100 yards.
Through all four games, yeah, exactly.
It's
yeah.
not out of personnel. A lot of it is out of injury and out of need. What you're getting right now is consistency in the run game from Jake Retzlaff.
He's the leading rusher for BYU right now.
103 yards on 28 carries. Now, what I expect is Jake Retzlaff to be involved early in the run game. I do think that this Baylor defense is susceptible to some outside scheming, some quick pitch, some quick option, and even some fly sweep opportunities, fly sweep give and keeps that can really be effective. So I like the running back room. It's weird that we haven't seen one get to 100 yards yet, but I'm not overly concerned at this point about it, Greg.
No, I think, you know, there's no reason to be because we see game by game who jumps out. Last week it was Sione Moa. Now, you're not going to see Sione today. He got hurt on that touchdown run. But, man, he was the guy that BYU leaned on last week and had a really effective run.
And I've seen enough from Nawahine to feel pretty darn comfortable about him. We saw enough in camp from Haunga to believe that we could be comfortable with him. So
we've seen glimpses of Pokai, maybe more today.
Absolutely, and we know that Ropati can carry the ball if he's needed. I mean, the guy's been doing this for many, many years. He's a senior, one of the few seniors you got in that running back room. So maybe rely on Hinkley Ropati a little bit more today.
All right, coming up, we'll head down to field level and hear from Mitchell Juergens as the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show continues after this, live from Waco, Texas, on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
BYU and Baylor coming up here at McLean Stadium. Let's head down to field level and our national anthem. Outstanding. The Baylor Marching Band, fireworks, it's football on a Saturday morning here in Waco. BYU-Baylor for the fifth time all time. In each of the four last four meetings, including today, BYU's come into the game ranked. The Cougs entering the AP and coaches' polls at number 22 after the win over K-State last weekend. BYU playing today for its first ever win in Waco, though. The Cougs are 0-2 playing at Baylor, including a loss in this building 3 years ago. Down now to field level and former BYU wide receiver Mitchell Juergens. Mitch reporting from the Zions Bank end zone for banking that goes the extra yard. Zions Bank is for you, Mitch. I'd like to get your take on the Cougars' recent matinee misfortunes, 10 straight losses in day games, and today's game kicking off at 10 a.m. for the BYU body clocks. As a former player yourself, describe the early game versus late game vibe and how you would feel going into each type of game.
Yeah, Greg, we'll start with the late game vibe. When the lights go on for a night game, the energy and adrenaline automatically seem to follow. You know, you don't have to work too hard to manufacture either of those things as it truly comes naturally. You feel like you have a little more pep in your step, you're well rested, hydrated, nourished, and all you really need to do once you're prepared is show up and let loose and play. Now, to the day games, it definitely doesn't mean you can't find that adrenaline and energy that naturally comes at night. You may just need to work a little bit harder to find it and use it. And, Greg, if you try and lock in 2 hours before the game on the bus ride over to the stadium, it's probably going to be way too late. So much preparation and discipline are required to ensure your body and mind are ready to go at 10 a.m. or for an 11 a.m. kick. Like, did you get to bed on time? Get the adequate rest that you need? Did you wake up early enough to start hydrating and fueling? Do you know the game script and the game scheme well enough? Because you're not going to have as much time to prepare in the morning to run through and walk through. So there's a lot of factors here. I truly think that in today's game, because it's not just BYU waking up early. Baylor's waking up. They're facing the same challenges that BYU's going to face. So a big factor in today's game might be who has prepared better, who's gotten their minds and their bodies ready to come and be ready to go at the time of kickoff.
Thank you, Mitch. Good stuff. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is BYU Radio on KBYU FM HD2 Provo. You are listening to BYU Football on BYU Radio.
Coming up next, today's coin toss and the opening kickoff. This has been the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show, live from McLean Stadium in Waco, Texas, on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.